The sun dance is one of the major cultural characteristics of the Plains Indians. Other tribes, say, who live in California or Maine, Washington or Florida, do not have the sun dance. And the sun dance is found only in the so-called Plains area. Several tribes have claimed the origin of the sun dance. The Cheyennes here in Montana claim that they originated. Of course, the Crows have their own version of having started the sun dance. And the Sioux also claim they did it first, and so on. Finally got into the plateau area where the northern Shoshone started doing that. The northern, the Bannocks, another north east type of plateau Indians, or the Shoshone types, apparently borrowed it from the Plains Indians. Well, the Crow version is something like this. Matter of fact, we have two versions. One was that a certain medicine man, I've forgotten his name. I have it in my notebook someplace. Having gone through a religious experience, you know, some old fasting, etc., and come back and put up a lodge, a ceremonial lodge, and had a new ceremony started. And the name of it was putting up a little doll, is actually the actual translation in the Crow language. But what it is a little effigy of a human being, and that's the central object of the Crow Indian version of the sun dance. They don't call it the sun dance. I suppose the white man who called it the sun dance. Nevertheless, this man started this ceremony and used a little effigy or the image, and the element of fasting was involved and so forth. And so it was a new ceremony, and people now claim that he was the originator of the sun dance. Another version was that a recluse by the name of Burnt Face or Scarface, who had lived in the Bighorn Mountains for many, many years, originated the sun dance. This is a long story. This boy was involved in an accident here where the present Fort Smith, Montana is, and his face was burnt. He fell into a campfire and he was badly disfigured. And as a teenager, his playmates would make fun of him and so forth. So he took off into the mountains and disappeared. They couldn't find him. Well, he stayed there till he was a full-grown man. A woman and her grandchild had escaped from the Sioux and the Dakotas, I suppose, and had come back along the mountains and happened to have met him. And they stayed with him that winter. It was in the fall when they met him. And he was a man, all right. His face was gruesome, scarred up. He was a caveman. He lived in a cave there around Black Canyon someplace. Well, they stayed with him. In the spring, I said, let's go back. I said, I'm ready to go back to my people, but first I must do something. I said, I'm going up the hills to worship and pray and get ready to go back to the human beings. So he went up towards the, well, what is called the medicine wheel now. Stayed up there for days while the women folks were down there on Wendy Point, the headwaters of Black Canyon, up in that area. And he came back, and lo and behold, all his scars were gone. His face was smooth, and he was quite a handsome man. So he married the young lady, and they came back to the tribe, which happened to camp there at Fort Smith again. And they came there, first there was quite a bit of rejoicing going on. They thought that the woman and the granddaughter were killed by the Sioux. And then they discovered that this young man, Scarface, had come back, and there was quite a rejoicing going on. But he told the people, said, "Don't come near me." He said, "I have to do one more thing." And they were camped there right below the old Fort Smith, there, down in the bottom along the river there. So he went up to that bench right north of Fort Smith. And there he held another ceremony. And right now the ceremonial site is still there. It's a replica of the medicine wheel of the Bighorn Mountains in Wyoming. It's about the same size, only smaller. But it's not as complicated. It only has six spokes. But it's a circle, medicine wheel. Then he had a fasting ceremony there, and the people who saw it believed that there was the so-called sun dance. And afterwards, he came back to his people and resumed his normal life. Anyhow, Scarface was credited as having started the Crow sun dance, at least the Crow version of it. So we have those two versions of it. Crow started their own sun dance. But of course, you know that all tribes borrow from one another.
Sure.
So they must have borrowed, or if we started it, others borrowed it. So there's a lot of cultural borrowing that goes on all the time. So that's the story of the sun dance, the origin of the Crow sun dance. Of course, you know that Sundance and other ceremonials were banned about, 1880? Around 1880, I think.
Yes.
In the 80s.
There's quite a revival nowadays, isn't
yes.
there?
Yes. Of course, that was revived after the passage of the so-called Indian Reorganization Act 1934. Shortly after that, well, other tribes started doing it again, namely the Shoshones. And in 1936, and maybe even later, I think it's about 1940, that the Crows borrowed the Sundance from the Shoshone. That is a modern version of the Sundance. So Barney Old Coyote and the Big Day, William Big Day and Henry Big Day and some of the leaders went over there and asked a medicine man over there to come over next year and have the Sundance here at Pryor. So I think about 1940, this John Trujillo, part Shoshone and part Mexican, had come over with his associates and had put up a Sundance here at Pryor. So that was the beginning of the modern Crow Sundance. It's truly a Shoshone-type Sundance. And I've seen pictures of the old, old Crow-style Sundance, and they were just small, just like a regular teepee now, only a little bit larger. And they're not elaborate like we have now, just partially covered with cloth, and only very few would participate. Present Sundance we have now is quite elaborate, with 16 poles and beams on top, center pole with stuffed eagles perched up there and the buffalo skull tied to the center pole and all that. So the Sundance we do now is not ours. We borrowed it from the Shoshones.
This is an age of bigness that even hits the Crow tribe too.
I might add that Crows probably held the largest Sundance. That is structure-wise, you know, than any other tribe in modern times. 1942 or 43, when the war was getting started good, why, Bob Yellowtail, who was still a superintendent, had staged this Sundance. Of course, he didn't run it himself, but he put a lot of effort back to it and had obtained some very, very long teepee poles in Bighorn Mountains in Wyoming. The largest they could find, the tallest, without being too heavy to lift. And they constructed the largest Sundance I've ever seen or I've ever heard of having been put up. And they put in 110 dancers, all in a big circle, see. So that's probably the largest Sundance structure ever put up in recent times. And nowadays, a structure seating 45 dancers is fairly good size. Sometimes they're just only 20.
The lodge I attended was about 50 feet in diameter, I would say.
They're usually around 50 feet now, yeah. But that other one's easily 75 or 100.
This was for the boys going into the army?
Yes, and their parents praying for them.
Where was this?
Right at Croydon.
It was at Croydon.
At first, you know, the older people who were still here at the time, the pre-reservation people, took the thing very seriously. They were very sincere and reverent about it and prayed hard and they fasted and took it very seriously. But most of that is gone now, except for a few exceptions like Tom Yellowtail, John Cummins, Henry O. Caillou, and a few others, the younger kids, you know, the teenagers, they just dance more or less for fun, show off, and just do it more for recreation, I think.
As they get older, though, do you think they'll be more reverent, or is this the...
Well...
is this different than they were many years ago?
Yes, these... Of course, in the olden days, all the people were religious, from the small ones to the oldest ones. But nowadays, it isn't like that. They just don't keep up with their religious training.
Just like the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Indian religion, especially Crow religion, if there's anything that comes, any religious feeling or religious undertaking amounting to what we might call a tribal church or a tribal denomination, it is a Sundance. It was a Sundance. Because whenever a Sundance was held in those days, the whole tribal population was involved. Everybody was more or less compelled or obligated to participate in one way or the other. All hunting and all war path going are suspended for that time, you know, about 4 or 5 days, a whole week. And the whole tribe was involved in the enactment of this ceremony. Oh,